Welcome to Health for Life, your trusted source for health and wellness insights, proudly presented by Vitruvian Health, the comprehensive healthcare system serving Northwest Georgia and Southern Tennessee with leading entities like Hamilton Medical Center and Bradley Medical Center. We're dedicated to keeping our communities healthy and thriving.
Welcome to Health for Life. Today we're talking with Dr. Thomas Flynn, a palliative care physician at Hamilton Physician Group Specialty Care in Dalton, Georgia. Dr. Flynn, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, absolutely. We're excited to learn more about the important subject of palliative care, and today we're going to discuss exactly how you could deliver that care at home. And Dr. Flynn, could you describe what that means?
So palliative care at home is specialized medical care, and the specialization of that is focusing on relief, providing relief from the symptoms and the stress and the signs of a serious illness, and that is happening right where the patient lives. What I mean by that is, you know, when someone might wake up and feel short of breath right as they wake up. There's pain that is preventing them from walking from the bedroom to the kitchen to make food. It's something that is impacting their day-to-day living. And what this involves is a team approach. So we are looking at the patient not just as a symptom or a disease, but as a whole person. And you need multiple people to care for the wonderful multitudes of what makes a person. So that is to support not only the patient, but also the family, and looking at physical things, emotions, and spiritual needs. And this requires a multidisciplinary team, meaning you have a lot of different specialists that contribute to this beautiful plan of caring for the person in what they need as who they are as people. And that can be nurses and social workers and chaplains right in your home where you feel most comfortable addressing the things that help you can live your best possible day today. And the goal is to manage symptoms, to educate family and those that are in the home providing care, and to continue to monitor progress and to keep following up with our patients, not only as people, but as hopefully as our family members, and we treat them as family as their disease process moves forward.
You pretty much touched on it already, but just with home and family being involved in this, is there a reason why patients would choose to receive this care at their house?
Mm-hmm. So familiar surroundings, being in the home that you're familiar with, that can reduce stress and it can reduce anxiety. And when people are comfortable and they're getting the care that they need to reduce the things, pain, distress, anxiety, it can actually lead to fewer hospitalizations and actually better overall wellness. And that is the goal, is overall wellness.
Who actually qualifies for care at home?
It can be any individual that has a serious illness. This can be cancer, heart failure, COPD, or advanced dementia. Mm. And they qualify regardless of their age or the stage of the illness. It's not limited to end-of-life care, unlike hospice. And that's something that a lot of people don't understand, is that the goal is to improve quality of life at any point in the illness, from when they're diagnosed all the way through.
So how is palliative care at home different from like actual hospice care?
That's a very common misconception and a common thing that people just don't have enough information on. And that is, while both focus on comfort, palliative care can be provided alongside curative treatment. For example, if you have cancer and you're going to get chemotherapy or radiation, you can still have palliative care at home. As I said before, this is at any stage of a serious illness, while hospice care is generally for those that are near the end of life and no longer seeking curative treatment. Mm. I say this because I'm also a hospice doctor. Okay. And having conversations with patients, they'll say, I've done the chemotherapy, I've done the radiation. It's just the side effects are too much. I just want to be at home. And I'm near the end of my course. That would be more along the lines of hospice. But again, both hospice and palliative are focusing on comfort. It's just they approach it in slightly different directions.
This is a off topic again, kind of, but mm-hmm. I'm just curious, with you being in both sectors, mm-hmm. Is it hard to balance the differences, or are they kind of like minute to where you can treat it mm-hmm. almost the same way?
That's a great question. What I come back to is they're so similar because palliative and hospice, the heart is in the same place.
Okay.
And that is, when I see my patient, I say, I want to get to know you as an individual, as a person. What are your joys? What are your hopes, your dreams? What are your fears? What are your stresses, your anxieties? And knowing who you are as a person and the things that make you unique, the medical care is directed towards, how do I understand this about you and then working together to understand where you are in your medical journey and your diagnoses, how do we craft a plan to give you your best possible day? I want to give you the best care possible, centered solely on your values, your choices, your dreams, your hopes, your fears. And so that is where palliative and hospice overlap in the philosophy and the heart of care. And then the difference being, if my patient, their value, they say, I've done chemotherapy, I've done radiation, I'm done going back to the hospital. My greatest joy is to spend time with my loved ones, with my kids and my grandkids. I want to be at home and I just want to be kept comfortable. When I hear that, I shift into my hospice mode. Whereas if I talk to a patient and they say, and this is very, these are all based on conversations, a collection I've had with my patients, they say, I'm a fighter. I haven't given up hope. I still want to keep doing chemotherapy. I still want to keep doing my treatment and seeing my doctors. Just my pain is out of control. My breathing, I just can't get under control. I can't fall asleep at night. When I hear that, I hear, okay, there is some suffering or some distress that maybe hasn't been seen before, but because we've built this relationship, there's something I can do to help improve their quality of life while they're still going through their treatment with their other doctors. Then I put on my palliative hat. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, the philosophy and the heart and the care is the same. What's the difference is what's going on in the heart of my patients and what their goals are. And then as I adapt to that, I pick, okay, is this a palliative appropriate patient or is this a hospice appropriate patient?
Well, that's very encouraging and that's very inspiring, honestly. Mm-hmm. Just to, you know, people have to be open about that to let you know what they need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a relationship and that's where it starts.
Wow. And if they do get care at home, but this mm-hmm. palliative care at home, mm-hmm. what do they kind of get with that? Like what services are included?
Mm-hmm. Well, the services stem from whole person care and seeing the patient for more than just the disease, but for seeing them as a fully vibrant human being that has different needs and hopes and dreams. Mm. So those services can be different. Medically, it's, you know, treating the symptoms such as pain, nausea, vomiting, shortness of breath, constipation, diarrhea, and looking at the medications to say, how can we simplify medications so it's not a burden to the patients to take them? Another aspect would be emotional or psychological support, working with a chaplain or a social worker or a therapist to say, how are you doing on the inside? How is your heart navigating these things? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel like you have value? Do you feel like we are moving in a positive direction? Because, you know, I've commonly told my patients, pain is personality. Your inner life affects your symptoms. So we also need to be respectful and paying attention to what's going inside your spirit and your heart and your mind. I mentioned spirit. It can also be spiritual care. Having a lot of medical literature supports that coming from a faith or a religious background and having more support in that direction is also beneficial and helpful when moving through these very scary illnesses. So having a chaplain on board to help navigate, you know, how this illness impacts your feelings, your thoughts in terms of, you know, what happens after I die, or questions that can have a spiritual or a philosophical component. And tying all of this together is working with the family to help with decision-making and advanced care planning, having an advanced directive or a living will. And it's these conversations that are gifts to the family, because sometimes, a lot of times, these conversations are very difficult. So part of my training is working with the patients and the families and having these difficult conversations and holding their hands to say, it's okay if this happens. How do we move forward by respecting you as a person if you can't communicate with us? What are your wishes? What are your values in that if you couldn't tell us and if your loved one can't share that, having that as a document or a previous conversation, family members don't feel like it's all on them, mm-hmm. but that we've already all discussed it and that it's just we're following what our loved one would have wanted. So being able to coordinate that and have that discussion, not only with the patient, but the family, their primary doctor, the hospital, all of these things make for less grief and less anxiety if the worst were to happen or you needed to come back to the hospital for emergency care.
The home care especially, who should they expect to like be in their home?
That's a great question because, you know, oftentimes people show up and knock on the door and say, who are you and why are you here? Well, that can be a palliative care doctor such as myself or a nurse practitioner looking at the medication. A nurse can come and check and provide an assessment and an evaluation. A social worker will come in and talk about logistics and transportation. And a lot of social workers also have backgrounds in therapy and counseling. A chaplain, any faith denomination, and it's important to understand that we all come from different backgrounds, different beliefs and faiths and religions. And it's important to, again, to be able to support that. home health aides to come assist and to train the families. Again, I'm painting a picture of multiple specialists with their each unique training to provide help in different avenues so that we can give a golden net of safety and protection around the patient with the hope and the goal and the dream of having more comfort and their best possible day to day.
And just overall, how does palliative care help families?
Well, putting all of this together, it reduces stress for families. It can be very stressful and very exhausting caring for a family member that has many needs. And, you know, burnout among caregivers is a real thing. And so this can help reduce caregiver stress. And also, we also offer respite care, counseling, and ongoing emotional support. This is for families, seeing that it's not just the patient, but this is a family unit. This can also be friends as well. When I say family unit, whoever is close and cares for their loved one going through this together.
Dr. Flynn, thank you very much for discussing palliative care with us. And to our listeners, if you or a loved one are in need of palliative care, visit VitruvianHealth.com/specialty care or call 706-529-3072. That's 706-529-3072.
This program in no way seeks to diagnose or treat illness or to replace professional medical care. Please see your health care provider if you have a health problem.
Thank you for listening to Health for Life, a presentation of Vitruvian Health, formerly Hamilton Healthcare System.